Judy has two different brands in the refrigerator. Brands of yeast, that is, Fleshman's and Red Star. She has used a tremendous amount of yeast in the last few years in the baking of bread, and several of you that are here this morning have enjoyed the fruits of that. She will take either a little packet about that big of Fleshman yeast, or maybe a tablespoon or so from a larger packet, mix it in with a batter, with other ingredients, put it in the bottom of a bowl, and in a matter of a few hours, it rises up over that bowl. Takes that out and divides it either into 4 or 12 portions, depending on whether she's making the larger loaves or the smaller ones. Puts a small amount again in the bottom of the pan and leaves it for a few hours, and it rises till it comes out over the edges of the pan. Then she bakes it. It's not hard to see the influence of leaven. A moment ago, we listened as Joe read from Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Listen as I read from Philip's translation. "Then his disciples came to him on the other side of the lake, forgetting to bring any bread with them. 'Keep your eyes open,' said Jesus to them, 'and be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.'" And then down a little bit further at about verse 12, "Then they grasped the fact that he had not told them to beware of yeast in the ordinary sense, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Over at Mark chapter 8, and verse 15, "Keep your eyes open, be ye on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." And then over in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, "Don't you know how a little yeast can permeate the whole lump? Clear out every bit of the old yeast, that ye may be new unleavened bread." The Bible talks about several different brands of yeast. Most of the versions that we have used, it has been translated leaven. We're even aware of how leaven was used back in Old Testament times, and how that particularly relative to some of the feasts, they were to use unleavened bread. They were not to have the influence of yeast in that bread. There are some great lessons, I believe, for us to learn when we look at what the Bible has to say about leaven or yeast. I can find at least 5 different types of yeast talked about in the New Testament where we are told to consider the power of influence as the subject is being discussed. And really, that's what we're talking about when we talk about leaven, when we talk about yeast in a spiritual sense. We're talking about the different influences that can bear on our own lives, our own thinking processes. And particularly in one of these that we will notice later in the lesson, we're talking about the influence that we can have in life, on the lives of others. Several times in the New Testament, Jesus told his apostles and others to beware of the Pharisees. I used to wonder why Jesus emphasized that so much, because to my knowledge, I have never met a literal Pharisee. Someone who was a Pharisee in the same sense that those were in New Testament times. And you might wonder why Jesus would say so much about a certain type of people that we would never meet as such, that most of the world, in fact, would never meet as such. And of course, the answer comes in that he was talking about a type of individual. In fact, this passage in Matthew 16 interprets itself. Those who were listening to him began to realize that he was not talking about the bread that they had forgotten to bring, but he was talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees and Sadducees agreed on some things, particularly they worked together to persecute Christ and his work. However, they disagreed on many things. The Pharisees were those who would have accepted the teaching of God's word, generally speaking, whereas the Sadducees did not. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. They believed in angels. They believed in the spirit that dwells within the man. The Sadducees did not believe all of that. Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and beware of the leaven of the Sadducees." Let's look at the Pharisees for just a moment. Again, the Bible is a self-interpreting book and says in Luke 12, verse 1, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." There's no doubt about at least what is involved to some extent in the leaven of the Pharisees. They were hypocrites. They would say one thing and do another. A reading, especially of the 23rd chapter of Matthew, shows that they were quick to bind certain commandments and ideas, even sometimes tradition along with commandments, on other people, but were not so soon moved to live by them themselves. They're the ones who are described as being like whited sepulchres or whited tombs on the outside, but inwardly they are as dead men's bones. They did not feel inside what they seem to be on the outside. Jesus says you need to beware of such leaven. The Pharisees were a group of people who might be described to some extent as being those who emphasized formalism. They wanted every form to be exactly right. They wanted every T crossed and every I dotted, and not only relative to God's law, but sometimes more especially to their traditions. Described in Matthew 15 and Mark 7 as including such things as the washing of pots and pans and other such like things. They were those who would have said, "This is exactly word for word the way it is, and this is exactly word for word the way it ought to be done." And then they wouldn't do it in the way that they required others to do it. It is possible today for us to place emphasis upon the letter of the law to the extent that we forget the spirit of the law. Don't misunderstand me. I certainly do not wish for us to compromise any of God's teachings. And yes, I believe that there is a book, chapter, and verse that we can use to prove what we are to do to become Christians, to worship in our assemblies, and to live day by day. But folks, it would be possible for us to be doing all of those things right as far as the formality of it is concerned and still not be right in our attitude toward it. And we live at a time when there may be an overreaction to what we consider to be liberalism, where it is possible, if we're not careful, of swinging too far in the other direction to where we may just be guilty of the form of the matter and not really sold on the concept that is involved. And if we do that, we may not be unlike the Pharisees. Let's be careful that we do not let that kind of influence permeate our thinking. then there is the doctrine of the Sadducees, and he says, beware of the yeast of the Sadducees, or the leaven of the Sadducees. I think we might describe them as people who emphasized rationalism. They wanted to rationalize everything from man's standpoint. They did not accept the idea of the resurrection or of angelic beings. They may have been somewhat like those that Paul described in 1 Corinthians 1, who always wanted to approach things from the standpoint of wisdom. We need to be careful that we do not fall into that trap also. Certainly, there are many things that we can understand from the Bible from the standpoint of wisdom. When we use our intelligence and we study and we learn, and we may even determine why God did certain things and what is involved, but you know, there are some things that we may not be able to rationalize, that we accept only because of our faith in God. Because there are some things that are not seen, and those are the things that are eternal. When we get to the point that we think we can take care of everything ourselves, we may not be unlike the New Age movement that sort of puts God within the person and begins to think that he can provide everything for himself, instead of believing in the resurrection and the greatness of Christ and of the Father. We take that approach, we may have problems. And it seems also to me, when we look at the Sadducees, that there is the attitude suggested of materialism, where there is a tendency to think in terms of the things that we touch and the things that we see. And certainly we need to be warned about that. Is there any among us who doesn't have the temptation to think in terms of material things? What money is and what it will buy and what we own and the things with which we deal each day? And maybe do not think as much as we should about the resurrection. Acts 23:8 says that the Sadducees did not believe in it. We want to be sure that we do not undermine our faith in God by being overcome with a materialistic spirit and trying to prove everything within our own minds in a rational way. We might do away with that which is the very foundation of Christianity, and that's faith itself. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Beware of hypocrisy. Beware of just a form of doctrine. Beware of trying to rationalize everything by ourselves, separate and apart from God. We need to be careful that we're not influenced by the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then in Mark's account at chapter 8 and verse 15, again he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and he adds, beware of the leaven of Herod. There are a few translations that think that that should be the Herodians instead of Herod. Same principle is involved. When I look at this, there may be other ideas involved, but when I look at this, I think of the government and the power of the government and the tendency to let government get involved in religion. There was a time when Herod sent out a decree to have all the boy babies put to death because he wanted to get rid of Jesus, thinking that he was a threat to his kingdom. There was a time when Herod put to death John the Baptist and had him beheaded because of the desire of someone else. Here is where government became involved that affected the religious aspects of the day. We may need to be concerned about that in our time. It seems to me that there is a tendency today with our government officials to emphasize freedom
from religion instead of freedom of religion. Many decisions are made today that affect whether or not the Ten Commandments can be posted in an office or a school, whether or not prayer is to be uttered at certain times and places. And perhaps if we're not careful, we're little by little letting our government become involved in making religious decisions. In some instances, allowing, in other instances, restricting. We need to beware of the leaven of Herod and be sure that we let God's word be our guide and that be the final place for decisions when we're talking about religious matters. But it is so easy as time goes by for us to just let these things slip in and let ourselves become involved in such problems almost without realizing it. That is especially true in the fourth kind of leaven or yeast that is described in the New Testament, particularly in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The setting is where fornication was being committed by a man with his father's wife. Paul admonished the church at Corinth to purge out the old leaven so that they could have a new lump. About verse 6 and those verses surrounding it in 1 Corinthians 5. He said just prior to that, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? That's almost word for word said again in Galatians 5 verse 6. A study of these passages shows that he's really talking about becoming indifferent to what's taking place. I don't understand Paul to be warning the people at Corinth so much about becoming involved in fornication themselves as coming to the point of accepting it and condoning it on the part of someone else. Now, knowing the type of city that Corinth was, possibility that he also had the other point in mind, because there would have been the need to warn them about becoming involved in such immoral activity. But the immediate point that he's making with the leaven is, you're just letting this go on within the church there at Corinth, and you're not doing anything about it. 2 Corinthians shows that they eventually did do something about it, and that evidently the man repented. But the danger that Paul is pointing out in 1 Corinthians 5 is that there is a tendency for us to allow ourselves to become seared as with a hot iron relative to the conscience, and to come to the point that we're past feeling. Ephesians 4 verse 19. People there even went about lasciviousness and uncleanness with greediness. Yet the indication is it didn't happen overnight. It happened little by little by little. You just stop and think about what's happened in the last generation or two, even where you and I live. Things that used to cause us to blush, sometimes today do not even get our attention. Some of the subjects that those in a generation older than I would not have even discussed are now bragged about by the present generation. Someone was talking just the other day on a program on television about how 10 years ago some of the things that were becoming a part of television programs were catching attention, even being written about in the news magazines and newspapers, and now today it's sort of commonplace. It's not uncommon to be in a conversation with people from churches in different places who talk about, you know, we've just come to the point that we never preach about and teach about marriage and divorce and alcohol and things like that. We've just sort of let those things go by. Are we allowing ourselves to be influenced by the leaven of immorality? Not so much that we participate in it, but so much that we condone it and overlook it. And just sort of get to the point of saying, well, that's the way it is. Maybe we can't do much about it. That seems to have been the problem at 1 Corinthians 5, but it was a problem that was overcome by 2 Corinthians 2. Are we allowing the yeast of immorality and our attitude toward immorality to affect our very lives? Four brands of yeast that we've talked about so far, the yeast of the Pharisees, maybe more a form of doctrine and hypocrisy than anything else. The yeast of the Sadducees, thinking more in terms of this world and denying the resurrection. The yeast of Herod, allowing government to become involved where it should not. And the yeast of immorality. And so far we've talked about the power of influence in a negative way, but I am thankful that there's another verse or two in the New Testament. I think sometimes all of us in general, and preachers in particular, have a tendency to emphasize the negative side, and sometimes we don't see the other side. But go to Matthew 13, verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it affected the whole. And that's mentioned also again in the book of Luke, chapter 13, about verses 20 and 21. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the positive influence that Christians can have. You and I have experienced it. We have observed it. We know that it's the case. I don't remember all the details of the story, but if I remember right, Brother Gus Nichols was converted, learned the truth, became a part of the kingdom of God, and then converted his father and his mother and the rest of his family. I doubt that there has been a family, especially in the southern part of the United States, maybe in the whole country, that's had more influence for good for Christ than the Nichols family. It started with one who became a part of the kingdom of God, and then that leaven, that yeast, began to work. The number began to rise. And the work began to be multiplied. There have been times when one person could make a difference in the job setting by emphasizing Christian principles. There's been many a family that has been affected because of the positive influence of a Christian. There have been some instances where we have gone into an area where the church did not exist and established the church from the standpoint of taking several people in to work at different jobs, get in the community, permeate the day-to-day activities of the community at the same time of starting a congregation, and it has been effective. Because when the kingdom of heaven works as leaven in that community, it has an effect. I believe we have one of the classic examples of this in our midst. Sitting on the front six or seven seats right before me. When we talk about peer pressure with our young people, we tend to talk about it in a negative sense. We have evidence every day of how it works in a positive sense. There's been many a problem that's been avoided because one young person in the group would stand up and say, no, we should not do that. or maybe something good ought to be done, and he'd say, come on, we can do it. The kingdom of heaven, Christians living in the community, can have a positive influence and perhaps can offset the influence of these other brands of yeast. We ought to be so thankful that Christianity has that kind of power. We just need to get it in the bread. We just need to get it out there and have the influence in the right way. And we can make a difference. We can yield to the temptations that come. We can yield to the powers that be. We can yield to the leavens that are there. And yes, they're there. That's why Jesus warned of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Herod, and Paul warned of the leaven of immorality. But folks, we need to emphasize the other side and realize that if we will be in the kingdom of God and be the active part of the kingdom of God, that we can be yeast in our own families, in our school activities, on the job, in the community, throughout the world. We've seen the yeast of Christianity reach even behind the iron curtains, and with all the problems that exist today, look at the influence that it's having. And we have no idea of how much influence it will have
in the future. Two questions. Number one, what is influencing
you today? What is the yeast in your life? But more important, what kind of influence are you having? What kind of yeast are you in your family, in the community? That's what's really important. If you're not a Christian, you cannot be having the right kind of leavening power. And if you're a Christian living as a hypocrite like the Pharisees, you're having the negative effect. Or if you fail to really believe God's word, or if you allow yourself to become involved in immoral actions, you can have the negative effect. But if you live for Jesus, you can have the positive effect of yeast and leaven in every situation. That's what we need. That's what we need most. If you don't have your life in that kind of relationship, you need to come to Jesus even now, as together we stand and sing.
Come to Jesus, he will save you, though your sins have crimson glow. If you give your heart to He will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus.